Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
Now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Yeah. Now, you wouldn't expect Michael Savage to be playing Barry Manilow, would you? Ladies and gentlemen, why am I playing Barry Manilow? Because the world is in such a bad shape. The world is so bad right now. The Middle East is burning. We have a golfer for president who doesn't understand what he's doing. And, you know, there's so much pornography out there that I ask myself, in a world saturated by porn, is there room for corn? And, you know, you listen to a song like this, I write the songs that make the whole world sing, I write the songs of love and special things, I write the songs that make the young girls cry. Sung by Barry Manilow, admittedly he's the vanilla, you know, of singers, but he's a very, very popular singer, or was for a very long time. And I'm asking myself about corn in a world of porn. Remember I told you I was in Florida like a week ago and I went into a place on Delray Beach and there was a guy up there who I really got a kick out of, and I've seen him before, but I really sat for an hour and a half. He's an impersonator, and he doesn't impersonate Barry Manilow, don't get me wrong. He does impersonate an English rock singer by the name of Rod Stewart, and I had never seen anyone perform for 90 minutes to 2 hours without taking a break. I was astounded to watch him because I perform 3 hours a day and I have for the last 16, 18 years, rather. And anytime I see anyone with energy like this, I have to get to, you know, amazed. Where does he get his energy from? So we called George Orr, who is not related to George Orwell, by the way, although I speak of George Orwell often on the Savage Nation. I rarely speak of George Orr because no one ever heard of him on the Savage Nation until now. If George is available, Beowulf, is George available for us right now? Because we should get him on it. Let's get George up on the show and ask him about the world of the cabaret singer, the unknown cabaret singer, what it's like to be an older guy who's still out there pumping out the tunes, and why he hasn't given up and just said, you know, give me the welfare. Why is he working? Why does he keep working? Why hasn't he rolled over and said, it's too hard, or I don't make enough money, or I don't have enough fame? What keeps him going? I'd like to know a little bit more about this. I realize that there's very important stuff. We have a former TV host from Fox News playing Moses tonight from Jerusalem, which we're not going to cover. I've seen this shyster work other crowds. He worked the Mormons here in America for years. He's now working the Jewish audience out of Jerusalem. So I don't know. Are the Jews that gullible? They need him? Or who knows? We'll see. Good luck to him. Pentagon says China's military is closing the gap. I guess they realize that the money is drying up, so now they have to scare us. And then we found out that the NYPD was doing what America's been dreaming of them doing, which is, of course, investigating mosques, looking for terrorists. And now the FBI is investigating the NYPD for violating the civil rights of would-be terrorists. So that's the world we're living in, a world of insanity. And that's why I ask you, in a world of porn, is there room for a little corn? George Orr, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Thank you very much.
Hey, George, I watched you in Delray like a week ago Tuesday, and I had seen you a year ago. I'm amazed at your energy, George. I'm amazed at your talent, and I had to have you on the show.
Well, thank you very much.
Now, George, where do you get the drive from to do this every night? Where do you get the inner drive from?
Basically, poverty.
So it's from poverty.
Poverty and alcohol, that's what fires me, yeah.
That's a pretty succinct answer, but there are so many millions of people in America who are impoverished, who refuse to work. I mean, certainly you could roll over and die. There must be more to it than that, George. Come on, be serious.
Okay. Goodness, where did I get? Well, once upon a time, I was a musician, and I wasn't doing so well being a musician, and I wasn't doing that for quite a long time because apparently I looked like and sounded like someone else who's famous, and so my chance to be famous was gone. And I actually used to wake up dreaming about being on stage. It was something that I'd always enjoyed. And when I got the chance to do it again, I thought, I'm going to take this and run with it. And
but, George, look, I watched you for an hour and a half. I sat there with Mrs. S., and I enjoyed you more than anyone in that audience. I was listening to your running commentary in between the singing. I thought you were amazing as a stand-up comic. One of your funniest lines, George, was when you said, people ask me how I can go on and on without taking a break, because I was commenting that most musicians do a 20-minute set and then take a break. You were running for 40 minutes in a row without stopping. I know you were taking a little wine under the thing there, but so what? And then you were saying, well, in the old days, we used to go out into the parking lot every 20 minutes and do a certain thing. And he said, well, I don't do that anymore. He said, all I would be doing is going out and drinking wine and talking, so I may as well stay on the stage here and drink my wine and talk, which I thought was brilliant. Absolutely wonderful stuff, George.
Well, it's a joke that because musicians, for some strange reason, have decided that they're all in the union, and none of them are. And they say we do 45 minutes on and 20 minutes off for no apparent reason. And so I made a joke saying that we all went to the parking lot to do drugs. And I said, I'm not leaving the stage because I'm an alcoholic. And if I was to leave the stage, I'd just be talking and drinking.
Yeah,
and
it was so good.
That's a bit of a joke, too. But
No, I understand. But, George, let me ask you, when you perform in these little out-of-the-way clubs, and most of the people don't even know what you're doing, I mean, they get a kick out of you, they think you're just, how do you overcome the sense of the audience not even getting how good you are?
I just keep battling on. I believe that you have to have a work ethic, and I believe if you just keep on doing, eventually somebody will listen to what you're saying and find it funny, or listen to the song and find they like it. But I just keep hammering at people, listen to me, that's basically it. And I've never stopped doing that. When I started doing that, I couldn't get an audience to listen to me because people go out nowadays and most bands are everybody as entertaining as a CD player. I wanted to get people to realize that entertainment still lives. It might not be every night in every bar, but a lot of people who get on stage actually have a lot more to give than just play a song and shut up.
I agree with you. There's always more inside the entertainer's heart. There's no question about it. I mean, talk radio is the same thing. You sit here, as I've done for 17, 18 years. I have a big national audience. It's a tough slog sometimes, and you don't even know if people are listening to you. And you have to keep going on and assume that what you're saying is good, or that you're good enough to keep doing it, and it comes from somewhere else, another dimension. But, George, I just had to have you on because I rarely meet people with your energy level, especially people in my age bracket. I'm known for being, the Energizer Bunny Rabbit myself in the sense of, forever running until the battery runs out. When I saw you up there, I said, this guy's amazing, but his rap is as good as his singing. And so I figured, George, if I could help you in any way, having you on the show, maybe people will look. Where are you performing regularly, like tomorrow? Where would you be, in Fort Lauderdale? Or tonight you're in an Irish bar in Fort Lauderdale, right?
We're just beside Fort Lauderdale Airport tonight, at a little place called The Field, little place, huge Irish bar called The Field. Mondays, we play in Hollywood, Florida. Tuesdays, we play in Delray Beach, which is up, I guess, in Palm Beach County on Atlantic Avenue.
Yeah, that's where I saw you. Was that, you cracked me up when you were sitting with your wife and there was an elderly couple at the table and you were joking when you asked the audience who's been married more than 20 years and people started raising their hands. And then you went to your own table and you said, my mom and dad are there. They've been married 75 years and they were really just your friends and you're goofing on them. I thought it was very hilarious. I don't know if anyone got the joke. It was hilarious stuff you were doing.
Well, some people get it. I make fun of everybody, no matter what their race, creed, or color.
And, that's right. And that's, I noticed that. You're not afraid to do the ethnic thing.
No, because they understand. People are intelligent. I think sometimes we think that everybody who's not like us is stupid, and it's not the case. A lot of people are very intelligent. They get the humor, and most people actually know what is said behind their backs. And so when I say it in front of them, it's funny because they knew.
Yeah, well, you know, George, before you go, I remember there was an Eastern European couple with a kid who was goofing around in the, it was an outdoor bar. He was having fun. And you were saying, yes, I brought my kids to bars and I don't recommend it. Look what happened to me. And then you were asking people how long they were married. And then they raised their hand like more than 10 years. And you said, gee, I thought she looked like a Russian bride that you married through a yearbook or something. And the guy didn't get mad at you. I thought that was amazing. That was a great insult, George. You're better than Henny Youngman at his best.
I think I insult people. It's almost like a nice insult. I tell men, you're too old to be married to her. What did you get her from eBay? And they get the joke. You know, they know that I don't.
Well, I think people have good natures, anyone who comes in to see your show. And George Orr tonight is at the Fields in outside near the Fort Lauderdale Airport. George?
Dania Beach, technically.
Dania Beach. Yep, I know the area well. There's a big, big yacht basins out there. I actually did some boating in that area. George, a pleasure to have you on the Savage Nation. I wish you the world of best. And the next time I'm in Florida, I'm going to look you up. I really wish you very, very well, George.
If you could just tell your audience all over the nation to check my website at hotrodlive.com.
And, you got it.
We play all over the stage.
By the way, I just went on hotrodlive.com. Where do you get those bimbos to come up and throw themselves at you from?
I'm a lead singer in the band. You are a radio personality. I get girls. You don't.
Good shot. Thank you, man. Good luck.
Thank you very much. Love being on.
You're welcome, George. Keep on pounding them. They need it. So in a world saturated by porn, is there room for corn? I just had a little fun up here on the Savage Nation. And I hope you don't mind the divergence from all of the serious business out there in the horrible world we're living in. Earthquakes, tornadoes, wars, pestilence, disease, moral decrepitude. How much can a man take? Right? Pennsylvania John, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Your last caller really inspired me. I'm 65 years old. I do what he does. And I have friends my age and younger, you know, saying, hey, 65, you should be retired. Why do you do all this? Well, I enjoy doing it.
What do you mean? You're a singer?
I'm a singer, guitarist. I have Civil War storytelling. I just do things. Besides that, I'm a standardized patient. I'm a professional patient for three different medical schools. It's a teaching tool that, you know.
Well, what do you mean? You're a patient as what? An outpatient in the psychiatric department? Are you pulling my leg or what?
No, sir. No, they have medical students. We do interaction role playing. I'm a patient. It gives them a chance to interview.
And I thought you were serious. I mean, in the other way, that you actually go in because you're a little.
No, bipolar.
Or something, and they get to an. No, you're saying you make believe you're a patient.
Pardon?
You make believe you're a patient for the doctors.
Yeah, make believe patient for
I think most of the people on Medicare are make believe patients.
Well,
it's just that they don't have anything to do with their time. So since it's free, they see three doctors a week.
Yeah. Well.
Hey, thanks for the call, my friend. 1-800-449-8255. We will revert to a normal broadcasting on the Savage Nation. The world is falling apart under this doofus that we have in Martha's Vineyard. I told you if there was one journalist left in America, he or she would fly to Martha's Vineyard and look at the tail numbers on the tarmac of the private jets, that is, and then go to any Google site or any other search site, and you can find out who owns those planes by searching the tail numbers, and then you don't have to wait for the great media gurus to tell you who the president is getting his info from. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Hey, look, I don't mean to blow your stents out here on the Savage Nation by changing gears a little bit, but there's only so much I can take. I mean, if it's too much for you, you call your cardiologist. You know, I got to do something other than talk about how bad Obama is. It's horrible. The guy is a walking disaster, a nightmare. They're trying to stir up every radical in America to attack Tea Parties. So I noticed that poor old Nancy Reagan was Rubio. They invited Rubio, and he got rapturous applause from the Republican Party faithful. And poor old Nancy Reagan, a fine lady, slipped and fell at 90, and he picked her up, you know. And what are they doing with Rubio there in the president? The Republican Party faithful. I guess Rubio is the golden boy because he's Latino, and they know that the demographics of America are moving away from the old white male. And Nancy Reagan is the queen of the, you know, the old guard Republican Party. Fine lady. But what is this with this this stage set? It reminds me of, what's that movie where the flowers, the women at the flower show? You know that movie. It's terrifying. With the Queen of Hearts. Yeah, Manchurian Candidate. I mean, that's a... Why didn't she ever invite me to the Reagan Library? I once ran into her. Remember I told you that? I was in Beverly Hills on Rodeo Drive. I go there a couple of times a year. I love to watch the people watching the people, watching the people buying the things that are watching the people who don't buy the things and the stores are going bankrupt. Someone must buy them. How many Japanese can buy a bag for $12,000? And there's Mrs. Reagan getting out of I believe it was a bronze-colored Lincoln Town Car with two Secret Service agents. And we had a nice conversation. Said, listen, she, I'm a nice lady, big, but never invite me to the, I guess my name isn't Rubio. Maybe if it was Savage-O and I represented a different demographic than the conservative, patriotic American demographic, the Republican Party would be interested in me. Maybe that would work. Is that it? In other words, it's not good enough that you love America and that you're patriotic. That is passé. They figure, well, what the heck? You're not the future of America. The future of America is someone whose name ends in a soft vowel. Or is it a hard vowel? A-E-I-O-U. Is that it? Soft or hard vowels only in the future of America?
Savage.
Rubio, Rubio, Rubio. Why, you don't look like my Ronnie, but I always had a thing for the... We had a pool boy years ago. You were my... Rubio. His name was Ruben. You wouldn't be related to him, would you, Mr. Rubio? He was quite something in them trunks out there while Ronnie was on the road. I got... Rubio. Rubio. Who is that young fella? He's a handsome stroy. Looks like my Ronnie. A little darker, but like definitely looks like my Ronnie. Rubio, Rubio. Oh, God, how much can a man take till he cracks? Can't they stay home like I do at night? What does she have to go out for? Don't they ever stop? It's like in San Francisco, we have the magic liberal couple. Ex-Secretary of State George Shultz and his bride of 90 years. I forget her name, Honey or something. I don't know. Swig Honey, Hug Honey Swig. She has five millionaires' last names, to give you some idea of her background. Everywhere they go, I mean, they treat them like rock stars. For what reason, nobody knows. Here comes George Shultz and Charlotte Maylard Swig, dude, with the same old blue suit. I mean, it's a give it up already. Stay home, watch reruns. Watch Hopalong Cat. Watch John Wayne reruns. Watch Ronald Reagan reruns. What are you going out for? Well, what are you going to do? People don't want to roll over and die. You can't blame them. I know how to excite you. Believe me, I could start telling you the stories and have you call on them, but I don't dare do it. I really don't dare do it. What do you want me to do? Be like everyone else? Why, that Obama's tearing down America? He is. But how many times do you have to hear it a day? He's the most incompetent. He really wants to destroy America. He does. He's as drunk as a sailor. He is. He's a Muslim. He is. He's against America. He is. How many times do you have to hear the same thing? I wrote a book on it already. You know, here's one that should get your attention. Tainted Chinese honey may be on U.S. store shelves. What else can those guys in China do until we wake up to the fact that they're not our friends? What needs to happen? You got this idiot vice president of ours, the water gun expert, Joe Biden, sitting there saying, well, they own 1% of this and 7% of that. You know, what percent of our infrastructure is owned by China? And he says, I'm all for it. I'm all for it. I'm not against the one child policy. That means he's for killing girl babies in China. That's really what a great moral leader he is. Chinese honey may be on U.S. store shelves that's contaminated with lead. And these wonderful, fine, upstanding Chinese from China, the honey makers, are laundering their products through other Asian nations, including India, Vietnam, and Malaysia, in order to smuggle it into the U.S. They're also doing this to get around paying the steep tariffs of up to $1.20 a pound that the U.S. imposed on cheap Chinese honey. Now you say, who cares about this? Why? Why should you care about it? The answer is because honey from China often contains lead, a toxin that accumulates in the body and can cause neurological damage. That you know, right? Where does the lead come from? It's been traced back to the thousands of small beekeeping operations in China that use unlined lead-sided drums to collect and store honey before transferring it to the processors, right? But it gets worse. Chinese are now adding an antibiotic, chloramphenicol, to thwart a bacterial epidemic that was killing tens of millions of bees, right? The FDA has found this drug in some of the Chinese honey. Now, here it comes even better to show you how wonderful these folks are from China, that all of these traitors are telling us, hey, they love us, their military is no threat, they're wonderful, let them own more of our debt. Much of the honey made in China isn't even honey at all. Another favorite con amongst Chinese brokers was to mix sugar, water, malt sweeteners, corn, or rice syrup, jaggery, barley malt sweetener, or other additives with a bit of actual honey. In recent years, by the way, many shippers have eliminated the honey completely and have just used thickened, colored, natural, or chemical sweeteners labeled as honey. So what I'm saying to you is, this is a symptom. This is just a symptom, a small symptom of everything that is wrong that is made in China. And I, you know, if you, let's say you use honey, you buy local honey. You get local honey, that's all. Why do you have to buy it? Because it's cheaper from a big store like Costco? Just don't buy it if it says made in China. Don't buy it if it's made in China. And by the way, while you're at it, tell your tea parties to demand the 20% tariff on all Chinese goods, which I've called for in trickle-up poverty. That's right. 20% tariff would straighten it out pretty good, pretty fast. Don't call me about this. There's nothing you could say. Let's go to Boston. Joe, welcome to the Savage Nation. Joe, where are you calling? Are you listening to me on, what, RKO?
Not yet. They don't broadcast.
How does that work, the iPhone applications? I don't make any money from those. Millions of people listen to me on iPhones, and there's no ratings from them. There's no revenue, but people listen. I don't understand. I think I have the biggest listenership on iPhones in America. What were you calling about, Joe?
I've lived here for the last 16 years, and I'd be happy to go to the airport and copy down as many tail numbers as I possibly can. Now, there is a risk here because these Secret Service agents they're pretty serious about their job. If I get a book out of the deal, I'd be more happy to do that between now and next show.
Well, let's talk about this, Joe. You're talking about flying to Martha's Vineyard or taking a ferry? How would you get there?
I live here. I've lived on the island for 16 years.
Well, wait, it's not illegal to use binoculars outside the runway and look at airplanes and write down their tail numbers. It's perfectly legal.
Well, Michael, I have a predetermined route every day. I ride my bicycle, and Obama happened to be at this little area, and the Secret Service man jumped out of his car, said, "Stop where you are." I put the brakes on and put my hands up. That's how serious he was about
it. What do you mean? Over by the airport? They're stopping you just for bicycling by?
No, sir. This is by an elementary school where Obama goes to have meetings and play basketball.
Oh, he goes to an elementary school to have meetings. That's very good. That's good.
It's true.
Why would he have meetings at an elementary school?
I do not know the reason, but it is documented in the daily press releases of the covering APY.
Does he sit in a little chair the way George Bush did when 9/11 occurred? Is he in a little chair?
He may. I think his look is probably a little bit more twisted than George W. Bush because that was...
Well, Joe, look, I don't want to put you in any trouble, but is anyone listening to the show think that it's wrong of me to ask people to get the tail numbers of jets that are on the runway at Martha's Vineyard Jetport? What's wrong with that? I think it's journalism 101, Joe, isn't it?
It is, absolutely. However, you know, I maybe I'm just paranoid. What can I say?
No, no. Hey, you aren't paranoid. We're living in a police state. We know that. We know that you're no longer living in the America that you grew up in. We understand that there are too many cops, too many guns, too many badges, too many spies. But on top of that all, they're violating people's constitutional rights every day of the week, one way or another. And they're telling you they're doing it to protect the privacy of individuals. It's all rubbish. You as an individual have the right, I believe, to go to the out to the perimeter of the airport. I didn't say run on the runway. Get out binoculars, but they'll probably arrest you for something and detain you.
At very least, you know, that's what I think. I don't know if I'd get arrested, but I'm sure that at very least I would have a stern talking to.
Why doesn't the local newspaper write down the tail numbers of the planes at the Martha's Vineyard Airport?
Well, Vineyard Gazette is run by, I think, an ex-person that's associated with the New York Times, and the Martha's Vineyard Times is...
Oh, that's where they retire to, like, Provincetown, and they buy the newspaper. I got it. They become the head of Gabler of their times.
It's true.
Right. Yeah, right. They control who says what and who is anybody or anything correct. In other words, they are the sieve for anything that goes in or out of their town. It's called censorship and propaganda. We understand that. Well, you got a serious question here, Joe. Don't do it on my account. I don't want you to get into any trouble. I raised it more as an intellectual argument than anything else, but I would think anyone could take write down the tail numbers of planes anywhere, right?
I absolutely agree 100% because you can't see it. There's no obstruction. And again, you know, I would not be on the premises. I'd be outside of the fence. There's a couple of areas where you can get a good view of the airplanes. But still,
My suggestion, Joe. I wouldn't do it on your own. Do you have people who would go there with you so that there's a group so you're not ostracized and picked on and they make a story up about you that you had weapons or that you had some explosives, which you certainly wouldn't have?
I could bring my children and act like a tourist.
There you go. Maybe they can arrest your children like they do at airports.
Papers. That would make the papers.
Do you have any Muslim friends in full garb who could accompany you? Because then you could do anything you want.
No. Why
don't you bring a woman in a burqa, a full burqa? Because then of course, the Secret Service would welcome them not only to take pictures, probably they'd welcome on Air Force One for a halal meal.
It's very possible.
No, listen, we're living in Alice in Wonderland, Joe. So you see, I don't want you to break the law. I certainly don't want you to threaten the president in any way. You know that. I do think it's interesting from the journalistic perspective to get the tail numbers of the planes at Martha's Vineyard so we as the American people could decide for ourselves, is it odd that this individual who owns that jet is at Martha's Vineyard at the same time as the president? What is wrong with that?
Nothing at all.
All right, Joe, don't do it on my account. Whatever you do, be very careful. You're not living in a free country. It's no longer the land of the free and the home of the brave. It's the land of the freak and the home of the bray. Tennessee John, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Dr. Sam, it's an honor to speak to you. You know, I was talking to your screener, and he asked me why I was uniquely qualified to review Abuse of Power. And I said, well, like I'm a movie fanatic, and I've also read a lot of Tom Clancy, but my mom got me interested in books. She was a school teacher for 30 years, and she got a taste. You want to talk about illegal aliens and the trouble they can cause? She was in the Archdiocese down in California, and somehow, you know, towards the end of her career, she got fired because she was missing like one unit, you know, off of her degree, and they someone found out she got fired. But I told him about I couldn't help but notice what was going on on the East Coast with the hurricane now coming, and I just wonder if God somehow is showing a little bit of his humor, you know?
Well, you can't start bringing up God with natural occurrences. I mean, I put that to rest last year when a Christian school bus went off the road. What are you going to say? God punished the Christian children because the bus driver did something wrong that night in his bed? I mean, you know, why do these things happen? There are chance occurrences on the earth, don't you think?
No, I mean, No. What I mean is like, you know, look at the guy who's running the country. I mean, we know he's a naked Marxist. You hit it right on the head. And
no, I believe he is. I believe everything about him screams Leninist. Yes, I know why he doesn't come out overtly and say, yes, I am a socialist or yes, I am a Leninist. And I think this is the better way. And here's my platform. You have a chance to vote for an anti-capitalist administration again. Here's why I think you should. I mean, Maxine Waters would cheer. She would say, yay, anti-capitalist, right on, kill the Tea Party. They're the enemy. Get rid of them. Lock them all up.
You look at what our founding fathers, what they went through.
Well, the founding fathers are long dead. We're way past the founding fathers. So new universe now. Where's Gaddafi? I wonder where he is. How do you feel about Obama taking such a long vacation? Earthquakes, tornadoes, deficits, joblessness. Nothing affects the man. He doesn't miss a stroke on the golf course. Not a good sign? I mean, why is this not an issue? Again, you know, you're going to get mad about it and call. It's not that good. It's not great radio. Biden backpedals on China remark. This is in the Washington Times. After 2 days of harsh criticism of Vice President Joseph R. Biden's comment that he fully understands China's mandatory one-child policy, the White House on Tuesday issued a clarification, quote, "The Obama administration strongly opposes all aspects of China's coercive birth limitation policies." You hear this? Look at the doublespeak. "Including forced abortion and sterilization. The vice president believes such practices are repugnant," said Biden's spokesmouth, Kendra Barkoff. Well, okay, I mean, that's what our job is, to be a spokesmouth for this guy. It's a very busy job. Former Massachusetts Governor Mitt Romney said in a statement that Mr. Biden's words should shock the conscience of every American. Why should it shock Americans to see that Biden is pandering to the pandas of China? He's pandering to the pandas. Vice President Joseph R. Biden greets survivors of the Japanese earthquake and tsunami in a temporary housing complex in Naturi, Japan, on Tuesday, 2 days after making controversial remarks in Chengdu, China, Associated Puke. The Associated Pukes, as you well know, are the enemies of America. The Associated Propagandists are another arm of the ACLU. The reason I say that is that it came out that the NYPD had a special task force that was actually watching mosques, that was actually canvassing mosques for potential terrorist threats before they occurred. And the Associated Press blew the lid on the NYPD unit that was doing this. And not to be outdone, the FBI is now investigating the NYPD for doing the job all Americans know needs to be done. So what, the FBI is now making sure that there's a terrorist in a mosque who can get away with it until there's a body bag? Look what's happened under Obama. He's taken a once great FBI. He's now made him so politically twisted that the NYPD is doing the job the FBI should be doing, and the FBI now is complaining that the NYPD shouldn't be investigating mosques to prevent another terrorist from occurring. Where should they be? Where would you look if you were in charge of intelligence or counterintelligence? Where would you start looking? Inside a Christian convent? Or would you look inside a mosque for a future terrorist? I mean, how crazy can it get? That's all. So I don't want to get agitated. It's the summertime. And 1-800-449-8255 is the phone number. You want to talk about this or any other problem? Here's White House briefing by Principal Deputy Press Secretary Josh Earnest. Does not know Obama's reaction to earthquake or if vacation plans will change. Let's hear clip 22.
The president did not feel the earthquake yesterday.
Oh, great. Wait. Hold it. That is so good. We just learned. This is breaking news. We just learned, direct from the horse's behind, that the president did not feel the earthquake yesterday. I feel so good to hear that. Let's hear the rest of this. I can breathe a sigh of relief now.
The president did not feel the earthquake yesterday.
Oh, thank God.
I am not sure about that. He was told soon after. But in terms of the mechanics of how that occurred and who told him, I don't know the answer to that.
What's his reaction when you were at the strength of the scope?
I wasn't the one who told him, so I'm not sure of what his reaction was.
Well, let's hear about clip 24. Let's hear if Mr. Obama knows what's going on in Libya. Let's hear clip 24.
Talk about how the White House has been watching the developments unfolding in Libya on television. Has the president himself watched any of the coverage of what has been going on over the last 24 hours or so?
I got to be honest with you. I don't know if he's seen any of the television coverage. I mean, he's obviously keenly aware of what's being reported on television. Because, one of the sources of information that we're getting is from the good work of journalists who are putting themselves in harm's way to try and report out this information to get what's happening on the ground.
All right, turn off the schmuck. Turn the schmuck off. In other words, the president, no one knows what he's doing. Hears no evil, sees no evil, speaks no evil. No one knows where he is, what he's doing, why he's there, who he's visiting, who he's talking to. what his tail number is, her tail number is, my tail number, your tail number. I'll be right back.
Savage.
We also have informants known as mosque crawlers who, as the name indicates, they just sort of hang out in mosques, being the eyes and ears of the police department inside the mosque.
If the FBI carried out activities like that, clearly illegal, murky, where would it fall?
Well, if the FBI had an informant in a mosque without information about a crime being committed, that would seem to violate the Federal Privacy Act.
Oh, shut your mouth, you filth. You know, you're like a human bird dropping, Apuzzo. I am so fed up with these psychopathic, degenerate liberals. I don't know where to begin. I'm reading a site on how to you clean bird droppings off new or off a car. And to me, the Associated Press on this story is like bird droppings that I like to clean off a car fender. I mean, the New York City Police Department expanded its intelligence since 9-1-1. And what they've done is they've put people inside mosques, as the FBI should have done 10 years ago, to make sure we don't get bombed again. And this degenerate pervert from the Associated Press is held up as a hero because he's found out that they're violating the Federal Privacy Act. Listen to this Putz Apuzzo in clip three now.
Obviously, every state has their own rules of evidence. But I think what the New York Police Department would say was, we were looking for a crime within a population. We were looking for people who had maybe gotten...
shut up. Shut up. You're a disgrace to your father's name, Apuzzo. You're a disgrace to your family. You're a disgrace to America, in my opinion. You rat, you. Okay, I'll open it up to the audience of the Savage Nation. Okay, you ready for this? Should the NYPD be investigated by the FBI for putting mosque crawlers inside mosques? Should the FBI bust the NYPD police gathering unit because they violated the rights of Muslims? Yes or no?
Savage. Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
That the New York City Police Department expanded its intelligence capabilities since 9/11, but you've really dug in deeper here. Tell us what's new.
Well, what's new here is just how close a relationship the NYPD has with the Central Intelligence Agency, and how, because of that relationship, the NYPD has been allowed to expand its intelligence gathering in ways that go far beyond what any other police department in the country can do. They have teams of undercover officers. They're known as rakers, who basically just troll ethnic neighborhoods. One officer described it as mapping the human terrain of New York.
Well, I think that's a good idea, yet these degenerates in the Associated Press with their sick buddies at NPR are attacking the NYPD Police Intelligence Gathering Unit for doing what every American thinks should be done. And yet, astonishingly, we learn that the FBI is now investigating the NYPD for doing the job the FBI refuses to do because they've been put under the thumb of Barack Hussein Obama. Listen, it gets worse in clip two. Listen to this Putz Apuzzo.
They also have informants known as mosque crawlers who, as the name indicates, they just sort of hang out in mosques, being the eyes and ears of the police department inside the mosque.
If the FBI carried out activities like that, clearly illegal, murky, where would it fall?
Well, FBI had an informant in a mosque without information about a crime.
Shut up! Just shut up, Apuzzo. You know what? If I were president, if I had the power, I'd put a NPR crawler into your office. I'd put an AP crawler into your office to find out what else you degenerates are doing to undermine this country's security, you rats, you. I'm sick of these people. And I'm going to turn it over to my audience now. NYPD right or wrong? Yes or no? That's what I want to know. Is it okay to investigate mosques? Or should they go to the FBI and say, do we need a warrant to investigate a mosque? What do you want, another 9/11, you schmucks, you? Houston, Texas, Abe, you're first up. NYPD right or wrong?
NYPD is absolutely correct. They absolutely need to go through every mosque in there with a fine-tooth comb, in my opinion. And if FBI wants to investigate them for doing that, then the FBI is corrupt beyond help.
Somebody ought to investigate the FBI. You know, there's an old saying from ancient Roman days, who will watch the watchers? It's time for us to start asking ourselves this big question. Who inside the FBI has turned it into an arm of the Obama administration and has softened their policies to the extent that the average American is now being investigated rather than those who might commit these crimes? Who will watch the watchers? Who will watch the watchers under Hussein in the White House? Okay, New York, WOR, Joe, is it okay to investigate the mosques to make sure there's not another 9/11? In other words, to do preemptive investigations? Or should they get a writ from some liberal judge in New York City? What do they have to wait for, the bomb to go off? Joe in New York on WOR, your opinion. Go ahead, please.
Absolutely, Michael, and I think they don't go far enough. I think they should investigate where the funding comes from to build the mosque. I don't think the NYPD goes far enough. I don't think the federal government goes far enough.
All right, good enough. That's how the average American with a brain thinks. So why is it that a guy with a name like Apuzzo would be such a putzo? Why would Apuzzo be such a big putzo to think that he's doing an investigative report by investigating the NYPD, who's doing the job most Americans want done? The only people who don't want them doing this are the psychopaths in the ACLU, those inside the mosques who are planning our destruction, and I'll go even further. I will go even further at another time as to why they're doing this investigation. Who is behind this investigation is what I want to know, okay? Sacramento, Edward, your opinion. Is the NYPD wrong for having mosque crawlers?
No, sir, not at all. I'm from the Middle East, and I can tell you why. First of all, if they're not doing anything wrong, sure, why not? Bring them in. Let them look and see what's going on in the mosque. But they are doing something wrong, because I have an experience in that. I lived in that. Their mosque is like the recruiters of terrorism. And I'm not going to be a politically correct person here, if you allow me. Their religion teach them to be that. That's why we have a cancer in America. I came to the United States because I was thrown out of Lebanon. I'm a Christian. I suffered a lot. I have family members got killed from these people. I know what they think. If I can be hired today to go be in the mosque undercover, I will do it today.
I've heard this from other Christian Arabs, by the way. I don't know if you're of Arabic descent, but I know Christian Arabs who hold the exact same views that you do.
I tell you, there's nothing worse than our government, and it's the cancer in America right now.
Our government under Hussein Obama is now saying the NYPD did something wrong by making sure preemptively that there not another 9/11 occurs. So look at what Obama's done to the FBI. You talk about damage to our national security, but now broaden it out to the international level. What has he done to us internationally?
I tell you what, sir. The Arabs looks at us right now. We are like the weak puppy in the bunch of wolves, because we are kneeling down to everybody. We're giving money to everybody. I tell you, this is my experience as a Middle Eastern. I am so sorry I came to this country right now because of what's happening. I wished it will be the strong, the iron fist, the ones that they will go back against, especially Hezbollah, the ones who started all this, killed all the Marines, and we didn't do anything. We are so politically correct that we are killing ourselves. We need to change the thinking of our nation.
But Edward, you got to understand something. You think the way 30 to 40 million American men and women think. You have to understand that the core of the American people see the world the way you do, and that the government sees the world in an entirely different way. This is no longer a government of the people, by the people, and for the people. This is a government of the special interests, by the special interests and for the special interests. Again, I open it up to the Savage Nation. How do you feel about the New York Police Department having so-called mosque crawlers investigating mosques or keeping an eye and ear out in a mosque to make sure that, let us say, an immigrant doesn't come in here with some bad plans for this country? Let's go back in time. Let's say it's 1939, if you can even stretch your mind that far. And Germany is making war plans against America. Germany is interring people, killing people. Germany has invaded Poland. Germany has invaded Czechoslovakia. Hitler is running the country. And we have a large German community here in America. Don't you think the FBI at that time had so-called Upper West Side crawlers working in bars, working in the tailor shops, looking in these tailor shops, keeping an eye out on the waterfront to make sure that saboteurs were not going to sink ships in harbors? What kind of country have we become that common sense has gone out the window under Hussein Obama? I tell you right now, unless we support the NYPD in this, we're finished. That's how I see this. That's how I see it. In fact, if you read some of my earlier books, I'm not ashamed to tell you. I'm proud to tell you. I called for undercover investigations in mosques 2 books ago. 2 books ago, I begged the FBI to go into mosques preemptively. I prayed that they did so. Instead, we find out now they're investigating the NYPD. This is a shock. I think we need more crawlers from the NYPD. In fact, I think every police department in America should have a mosque crawling division. And now an important word from one of my important advertisers. You know, because as you age, I've told you this before, when you get older, you focus more on the legacy you're going to leave your children and your grandchildren, right? And how do you do it? You share your wisdom and your experience with your kids and your grandkids, because that's an important thing to do. But what if you suffer from hearing loss? Well, this gift of communication with your kids or grandkids could be lost. And leaving them your legacy requires effective two-way communication. I found a new medical breakthrough through this advertiser, and it's for those with hearing loss, and it's called the Esteem Hearing Implant. It's a revolutionary solution. It's 100% invisible, so you can keep up your active lifestyle. It's called the Esteem Hearing Implant, and it delivers a natural improvement to your hearing with a natural clarity of sound. To learn about this new breakthrough and give your children a legacy they will cherish for their lifetime, just call 1-800-953-5453 or envoymedical.com. You got it? That's 800-953-5453 or envoymedical.com. Do it today. Call 1-800-953-5453 or envoymedical.com. For a list of side effects and benefits associated with Esteem, visit envoymedical.com.
We also have informants known as mosque crawlers who, as the name indicates, they just sort of hang out in mosques, being the eyes and ears of the police department inside the mosque.
If the FBI carried out activities like that.
Oh, shut up, both of you. You two degenerates sicken me. You know, you are what's wrong with America. You can hear by the voice, these are J-school kids. They were brainwashed in elementary school. Then they were brainwashed in college. Then they couldn't do anything else, so they became journalists. And they went to journalism school, where again they learned how to say sort of in every sentence. If you turn on MSNBC, every other word out of their mouth, every sentence is sort of, kind of, sort of, very collegey. And they're all so worried. They're always concerned about Muslims and their rights in America. They're never concerned about Christians or Christianity. They're never concerned about Jews being killed in the Middle East by Muslims. They're always concerned about Muslims. Why are the liberals of America so obsessed with protecting the rights of Muslims when virtually every terrorist act, with a few exceptions of recent time in America, have been conducted by Muslims against America? How come they weren't worried about Major Nidal Hassan, who for years inside the U.S. Army was sending his medical reports with Allah be praised on them? How come they didn't investigate how the U.S. Army had become so caponized by political correctness, so to speak, that they were not able to protect themselves from an explosive device named Major Nidal Hassan, who then went and killed 13 and injured about 30 or 40 people at the Fort Hood massacre? How come the AP didn't investigate the weakening of America's military as a result of political sensibilities? How come they haven't investigated who weakened the FBI as a result of political sensibilities? How come they haven't investigated the weakening of our investigative departments across America as a result of political liberalism? The answer is because they are the problem, ladies and gentlemen, of the Savage Nation. So I would argue we need more investigations like the NYPD is doing, according to this report. And frankly, I think guys like this at NPR and Apuzzo are the problem, not the solution. What do you think? New York City, WOR. Is the NYPD right or wrong? Joe, you're on the Savage Nation.
Yeah, good evening, Dr. Savage. I think it's a good idea, but unfortunately, I don't believe we're going to get the truth to the true investigations. Yeah, I believe that the media has been hijacked, you know, by, I know you've said it in the past, the New World Order. People that are trying to govern the control of things, they've hijacked Islam. I'm a convert. I'm a conservative Republican, but I've converted to Islam. And I know from going to a mosque in New Jersey that there's nothing being portrayed like what the media is portraying with Islam. So all this fear-mongering is doing nothing but making it worse, when the reality is, yeah, there are some bad elements, but they're not all over the place. There may be some isolated areas. So I think Islam, unfortunately, has been hijacked, and you know, this investigation, I hope, would give you the truth that, you know, a lot of good is happening. But I think you're not going to get that. I think you're going to get...
Wait. A lot of good is happening where?
In the mosques themselves. The Islam, the Muslims that I personally am around in New Jersey, in inner cities of New Jersey, for the most part are good people. I mean, you know, you're going to have bad elements in any religion, in any...
That's right. I agree with you. So why would you then object to an informant watching out for the bad apples?
Oh, I think it's a great idea, but what I would hope is that they're actually informing the truth and not a tainted version to promote what the New World Order wants to do, and that's hijack Islam and use Islam and Christianity as a war against each other. That's all this is.
I think you're twisting reality. I think what you're doing here is you're playing a very subtle and intelligent chess game with me, when you in fact know very well that especially among Somali immigrants, we have a real problem. You know that, and I know that.
Absolutely. I'm not here to say that at all. I'm here to say that, unfortunately, though, the public...
All I can tell you is that if I were a Muslim, which I'm not, I would welcome an FBI present in my mosque to make sure that the bad apples didn't spread the poison in the apple barrel.
And I do, too.
I wouldn't want them to poison my children with their hatred for Western civilization and their hatred for Christians and Jews. And if I heard that, I would hope that the FBI would report them.
Absolutely. But what I'm saying, though, is because the mainstream media is owned by the New World Order and the people...
Oh, please, get off it. The mainstream media bends over backwards for Muslims. You know it and I know it.
I definitely see that end of things.
The mainstream media bends over backwards to make every Muslim into a victim. So stop the double talk, will you please? You can't have it both ways. You're a very good propagandist. Oh, boy. Oh, yeah. Don't play chess with Mike, okay? Because I'm playing chess on four boards at once. Florida, Phillies, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please, Phyllis. Phyllis?
Yes, hi, Dr. Savage. My point is very simple. How in the world can NPR be saying that the NYPD is violating privacy rights by being in a mosque? Last I heard, a mosque was a public place, just like a Christian church, just like a Jewish synagogue. Anyone can go in there. Anyone can observe. Anyone can participate. How is that?
Well, theoretically, anyone can. Let's put it this way. We know that there's a problem in the world between some factions of Islam and the rest of the world. They're killing their own friends. They're killing their own Muslim friends in Iraq and in Afghanistan. Any Muslim who doesn't toe the fanatical line is being killed around the world. So wouldn't a mainstream Muslim want the FBI to weed out the potential bombers before they kill them, or the potential haters before they convert their children into a bomber and destroy their family name? I would. I would. I'd welcome the FBI in my mosque if I were a Muslim and I was practicing my religion and didn't want to harm anyone. I'd welcome the FBI. I'd welcome the NYPD. So why are they stirring up such hatred, the AP and the NPR jerks, with this? What are they so worried about? What, do they want another bomb to go off? This is such classic stupidity of liberals that I don't have to spell it out for you. Here's how the liberal credo goes. I'd rather see 99 guilty men go free than one innocent man be incarcerated. I've heard it 1,000 times from the weak-minded, ever since I'm a child. I'd rather see 99 guilty men go free than one innocent man rounded up. You would, huh? How many 9-11s do you need, 99 of them, for fear that you may round up the wrong guy? You schmucks, you. What world do you live in? You see, this is a product of brainwashing. This is a product of Ritalin. This is a product of psychiatry. This is a product of Dr. Spock. This is a product of every liberal stupidity in this country's history, summarized in the Associated Press and the NPR.
Savage.
You know, I just went and got a copy of my earlier book, which I'm certainly not selling you. Liberalism is a mental disorder. If I was interested in selling you books, I would be talking about my novel, Abuse of Power, coming out, or I'd ask you to go buy the paperback copy of Trickle Up Poverty. But I covered this issue of Islamic terror very, very in a detailed manner in Liberalism as a Mental Disorder. And here's chapter whatever, Unmasking Islamofascism. I don't pull any punches. The headline says, America's Bravest Voice Again. And I'm going to read it to you. I'm not going to mince words because I'm reading my own words. Welcome to the United Islamic State of Europe, year 2075. Paranoid delusions? Guess again if you dare to face the savage truth. You see, radical Islam isn't a religion as much as it is a political movement with global aspirations. Its leadership masquerades in holy robes, while carrying the Quran in one hand and an AK in the other. Their goal, to convert you or kill you, that's all. Nothing short of total victory will do. And with one-fifth of the Earth's population subscribing to Islam, the radical fringe is working overtime to infiltrate the rest, break our will, and drag the world back to the 13th century. Forget what you've been told by the enlightened ones. What the libs really mean is that it's since the extremist followers of Muhammad, Allah, don't take my word for it. Read the Quran for yourself. He is a real sapphire of a religious proverb. Quote, I will cast terror into the hearts of those who disbelieve. Therefore, strike off their heads and strike off every fingertip of them. Quran 8:12. How do you like that one? Does the name Nick Berg come to mind? Or how about Daniel Pearl, Paul Johnson, Kim Sun II, Eugene Armstrong, Raja Azad, Sajjad Naeem, decapitated every last one of them. These Islamic headcutters and headscarves are so warped, they consider beheadings nothing more than a Kodak moment to shilling. Read some rambling message of how radical Islam should rule the world, then these insects saw off the heads of their victims with short knives. Why? Disbelieve. Then smite their necks until when you have overcome them. And as for those who are slain in the way of Allah, He will by no means allow their deeds to perish, Quran 47:4. They go hand and knife with following the will of Allah and the spread of righteous preference, something we in the West should try to understand. Not me. I say if Islam is such a peaceful religion, don't think for one minute that jihad is just the polite twisting of a few arms to bring infidels around to the Islamic way of living. The jihad that Muhammad called, read the evidence for yourself. Allah's apostle said, quote, I have been made victorious with terror, Bukhari volume 4, book 52, number 220. And quote, Allah's apostle said, quote, killing disbelievers is a small matter to us. Tabari 9, page 69. To these enemies of civility, it's perfectly fine to sacrifice human life, making their version of Islam the dominant religion in the world. What's more, 72 burqa-free virgins await them on the other side, should they die in the service of Allah. Wake up and smell the dirty bombs, I wrote. The march of radical Islam is the most dangerous threat to America and the rest of the civilized world, unless they are stopped. Of course, Hillary Rodham Clinton doesn't see things as clearly as I do. In her view, quote, Islam is the fastest growing religion in America, a guide and pillar of stability for many of our people. What world is she living in, I wrote. Now remember, I wrote this book in 2005. Islam is growing so rapidly within Europe that historian Bernard Lewis sees Europe becoming part of the Arabic West. The continent will essentially be annexed by Islam, and not too far down the road either. Lewis told the German newspaper Die Welt that, quote, Europe will be Islamic by the end of the century. Now, I'm going to stop right here because I wrote this book, Liberalism is a Mental Disorder, in 2005. And incidentally, this book was banned for sale in the European Union. I don't know if you know that. I never talked about it. The EU banned the importation of this book, Liberalism is a Mental Disorder. And 2 years later, or three years later, I was banned from entering the United Kingdom. I was the first Western commentator to be banned from the United Kingdom. Actually, I'm the only Western commentator to be banned from entering the United Kingdom. You can ask yourself why, or you can say to yourself, my God, I didn't really know. In either case, you'll find out that you're not just listening to a radio host. You're listening to an American who sees things as they are and states them as they are. Now, I realize that since Obama, Barack Hussein Obama at that, has become president, we're not supposed to say such things. I realize that with Hillary Rodham Clinton talking in such glowing terms about the introduction of Al Jazeera into America, glowing as a matter of fact, I remember, I was shocked by it when she said Al Jazeera gives us news while the other networks just give us chatter. I was shocked at that. But then again, ladies and gentlemen, I'm not shocked at anything liberals do. America's voice once again. And then I wrote the ACLU. The head of the snake is the American Civil Liberties Union, which fashions itself as the de facto fourth branch of government. The headline said the doctor is in and the diagnosis is clear. Liberalism is a mental disorder. Now find out what you can do to treat it. Now, I know many of you bought the book, and I'm not looking to sell you a book. I'm looking to sell you the truth. We've been stabbed in the back. We have been stabbed in the back. And the last time I checked, we were at war with Islamofascism, not the Parrot Kingdom. And this would be like calling a burglar who crawled through a window into your house an undocumented house guest. I was talking about illegal aliens. I mean, I'm giving you a lot of little bullet points from the book. Let's see. Here we go. Real homeland security begins when we arrest, interrogate, jail, or deport known operatives within our borders. And now yet, the Homeland Department, the Homeland Security, DHS, is saying to us that Christians are a bigger threat to America than Muslims are. Well, as I've said before, one dirty bomb can ruin your whole day. One dirty bomb can ruin your whole day. I didn't watch Sesame Street, and I didn't let my children watch Sesame Street. You know, they've gone from reading, writing, and arithmetic to reading Ritalin and Ramadan. 1-800-449-8255. Houston, Texas. Tom, you're on the Savage Nation.
Dr. Savage, I'm afraid. Yeah, I was afraid you were going to call me back because I just stopped laughing at your great show today. But
good.
I agree with the NYPD. They should train the FBI. We know what the federal authorities can and cannot do. They cannot do anything for our country.
Well, yes, they can. They can investigate returning war veterans, Christians, people who don't believe in abortion. Jews who believe in Zionism, they can be put on the watch lists. They certainly can.
Our country is a special definition. Our country is your country and my country, and not what this is turning into or has turned into.
That's correct. That is correct. Hussein Obama has warped the entire country into his world vision.
That's right, that girly man in the White House. But
well, I wouldn't call him a girly man. Don't underestimate this man. I believe he's a very intelligent man. And a very stealthy man, and I think he's a very dangerous man, personally.
He's a very worthy opponent.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't call him an opponent. I would call him something else. Thank you for the call. So, do you know what we're talking about? We are talking about the National Public Radio Network going to some creep inside the Associated Press named Apuzzo, who, if I were Italian, I would be ashamed to be an Italian with this guy amongst me. Attacking the NYPD for doing what every American knows needs to be done, which is to create investigations that are now trolling ethnic neighborhoods and trolling especially mosques, eyes and ears inside the mosques by the NYPD. to make certain that the poison that appears from time to time is limited or controlled, that the radical cabals are deterred before they set off another dirty bomb, set off a bomb, rather, or that they poison the children into becoming jihadists, which happens too frequently in this country. Now, I realize that the liberals from Beacon Hill in Boston would not agree with me. I realize that the liberals from the Upper East Side and from Austin, Texas, would not agree with me. But the fact of the matter is, my intention is not to tarnish the reputation of the FBI or tarnish the reputation of the AP. My intention is to make certain that we remain protected from the next 9/11. I do not want to see us suffering any further in this country. 1-800-449-8255. When I first voted for George W. Bush, I wrote, I didn't think I was getting Bill Clinton light, 2005. You know what I'm going to do for you right now? I think what I'm going to do is go back to the chapter Unmasking Islamofascism from Liberalism as a Mental Disorder and just read you the captions inside the book. Radical Islam isn't a religion as much as it is a political movement with the global aspirations, their goal to convert you or kill you. Notice I said radical Islam. Next, wake up and smell the dirty bombs. The throat slitters are clawing at the gate. Next. The problem is that you probably hate history. You don't know the difference between Genghis Khan and Chaka Khan. Let's see the next one. Liberals turn a blind eye. Here it is. Like a hot lava flow, this insidious death culture has oozed across the globe, consuming one city, one community, one region at a time. Onward, Muslim soldiers. Where's the outcry from the peace-loving moderate mullahs when fellow Muslims murder children in cold blood? Next. Ask a Muslim and they'll tell you that Muhammad was sinless. Maybe so. I never met the man. Next. As I've said, one dirty bomb can ruin your whole day. Next. Let's flip to the next. A message of moderation, not extremism, must prevail in the Islamic world. We need an army of moderate Muslims crying out, not in our name. Here's the last one, and this was written by Abdel Rahman al-Rashid, who, as you well understand by the name, is a Muslim himself. He said this, not me, and I quote him, "It is a certain fact that not all Muslims are terrorists, but it is equally certain and exceptionally painful that almost all terrorists are Muslims," close quote, Abdel Rahman al-Rashid. This was in 2005. Now, if you think that I'm especially critical of Islam and Muslims, you are mistaken. I'm especially critical of the Muslims who want to kill us or convert us. And I went out of my way in my forthcoming novel, Abuse of Power, which will be out September 13th from St. Martin's Press, to have created, I believe, I don't know of another person who's done this, another writer who's done this, a hero in the book, several heroes, by the way, who are Muslims. But the biggest hero is a female Muslim whose brother, as you will read, was killed by radicals in a bomb attack. She goes to work against radical Muslims for a certain secret group in Europe. It's all an Abuse of Power. It's a phenomenal novel that every Muslim with a brain who understands and loves America and loves their own religion will buy and read. I hope. I don't know. I don't really know what's going to happen with the book. I can just tell you right now that the Associated Press would hate it because it's so darn good. It's written so well. And, of course, it cuts across all of the lines of communication that they've established to push their agenda, their liberal agenda. 1-800-449-8255. I'll be right back.
Savage.
We knew that the New York City Police Department expanded its intelligence capabilities since 9/11, but you've really dug in deeper here. Tell us what's new.
Well, what's new here is just how close a relationship the NYPD has with the Central Intelligence Agency.
Oh, shut your mouth. I can't take it anymore. So you've got these two boys, these two college boys, one from the AP, the other from NPR, kissing each other's behinds. Like they're some heroes, like they're, you know, some great journalistic heroes because they discovered the NYPD is doing what every American wants done, which is investigating potential terrorists in mosques. That bothers them. I wrote in Liberalism as a Mental Disorder, given the failed state of our public education, I imagine they may not know the difference between Mussolini, Tortellini, or Linguini. And it was part of my attempt to awaken America to progressives in America and what they hate about us, what they hate about this country. And here's what I wrote. I know how these people think. To them, the only good America is a crippled America. That's why they hate our military. They hate our moral foundations. They hate our independence and sovereignty. They hate our strength of character. And because of their hatred of all conservative ideals, these fringe elements I was talking about the Republican National Convention, how they try to undermine it. The Pittsburgh Tribune Review, when noting the intimidation tactics by the protesters to thwart the democratic process at the RNC, referred to them as unwashed, bad-smelling kids who jostled delegates and who shouted out and heckled and acted like inmates of a lunatic asylum, using fear and intimidation to silence the opposition, ought to have a familiar ring to it, I wrote. Think early Hitler. Think early Stalin. Think early Mao. Think Castro. Think Saddam. Think Islamofascism. Listen to this paragraph, and then I'll stop reading. Just as every tyrant and terrorist group has done throughout history, the hard left intends to obliterate truth and freedom by first posing as progressive humanitarians and pacifists, which is why I say leftist ideology is the driving force behind the enemy within our country. What you might not realize is how closely connected these modern-day Judases are to the monsters of yesteryear, as you'll see in a moment. You know, I'm reading my own book, and I got chills up my spine, because my love for America is limitless. I am an immigrant son, former Boy Scout, and I was taught a few things by my father, which is, they fled tyranny. Don't let tyranny occur in your own country. Love America. It's the greatest country on earth and the last hope for the world. And now I wake up as an older man, and I see the very things that many people ran from occurring as a result of these poseurs, these nice boys and girls from NPR and AP and MSNBC, these people who say sort of in every other sentence, who think that they're just bright little college kids who have to stop the fascists from destroying freedom. They don't fool me for 1 minute. I hope they don't fool you for 1 second. 1-800-449-8255, what's your opinion? Saif from Pennsylvania, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Well, thank you. Let me just start out by saying I'm a Muslim, and I love America. You know, two things that can go hand in hand. But there's a lot of points that you've been bringing up that, you know, I'm with you 100%. As far as informants and mosques, I hope that that's actually something that's not just at the theoretical level and something that's actually being implemented.
You know, Saif, you and I could be cousins in terms of how we see the world. What's wrong with practicing your religion and you get a bad apple coming in from, let us say, a radical nation such as, and we know the Somalis, the Somali community in particular is a very worrisome community. We all know that. And you've got some of them coming in here doing some pretty bad preaching. I don't see any problem in catching them before they set the kids on the wrong path, do you?
No, definitely not. And you know what? I'd be as bold to say most of Somalians in the world are probably liberals, because that just seems...
Well, I wouldn't go to liberal, okay, because liberal conservative doesn't mean anything. I'm concerned mainly not with their politics, but with their potential as terrorists, Saif. Saif, I'm going to send you a copy of Abuse of Power, my forthcoming novel. I would like very much if you read it and if you wrote a review of it. Would you do that for me?
I have, and it's a great read. And you said something about chilling, you know, chills up your spine. Same thing, chapter after chapter.
Wait. How did you get a copy of Abuse of Power? You read that book?
Yes, sir.
Where?
Somalia.
Wait. Saif, what are you talking? Did you get a copy of my novel, yes or no?
Of course I did, yeah.
Where? Right. Where did you... You can't get it online.
It was, you know, all over the web.
Did you read chapter two or the entire book?
No. I'm talking the entire book. I read it, you know, in a night. I loved it.
Saif, you're making this up. You're a liar because the book is not available yet, so you're trying to pull my leg and lie at the same time. You should be ashamed of yourself for blaspheming in your own religion. Thanks for the call. See, I can get to the bottom of things. Tucson, Arizona. Sean, you're a former NYPD detective. Where do you stand on this scandal?
Michael, first of all, thank you for your time. I really appreciate what you do on the radio waves. Michael, I'm a retired New York City police detective, and I just came back from the 9/11 site. I took my twins there. They're 13. And
Sean, I'm sorry. I have only 15 seconds, my friend. I wish I could listen to more of it. You know the NYPD is right. I'm sending you a copy of Abuse of Power because you're a real American as opposed to the last one who was something other than that. God bless America. Keep your eyes and ears open.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
News is pretty amazing today. I guess they're making a big deal. Look at this, Daily News. Shocking report, NYPD and CIA spying on Muslim neighborhoods in New York. Hey, it makes sense. It makes sense. Department accused of dispatching covert mosque crawlers and infiltrated bookstores and cafes. Hey, thank God. Who discovered this? The ACLU? Who should you be watching? Nuns in a church or Muslims in a mosque? Amazing to me. It's just unbelievable to me. This is astounding to me that the Associated Press is this bad. I mean, I knew that they were, you know, psychobabbler liberals. I had no idea that the AP was as bad as the ACLU. FBI agents in New York were ordered by their bosses not to accept reports from the NYPD's mosque crawlers because they might be violating the constitutionally protected freedom of religion. In other words, the FBI is now protecting potential terrorists in mosques while the NYPD is doing the job that America needs done. Astounding. Yeah, come on, that's ridiculous, but identity theft is something you have to take seriously. What if someone stole your credit cards and tried to destroy your life? Don't be a victim. Call my advertiser, LifeLock, today. Call LifeLock now at 1-800-LOCK-485 and get 60 risk-free days just for Savage listeners. 1-800-LOCK-485. Call them now. Astounding story, and it's on michaelsavage.com. 1-800-449-8255. Let's go and see what other stories have made it up to my fabulous, wonderful, world-class, one and only website, michaelsavage.com. On MichaelSavage.com, our national debt will hit $1.3 trillion, easily eclipsing the $917 billion in savings over 10 years. I'm not shocked by that. Libyan foreign minister says Gaddafi's reign is over. Foreign minister? Foreign minister? Journalism, terrorism, patriotism, just how far up does the abuse of power reach? Read an excerpt from this amazing book written by Michael Savage. It's a free excerpt of Chapter 2 on MichaelSavage.com. No injuries, no damage, yet U.S. shuts airports and media hysterical over the earthquake.
The president might not have felt this at Martha's Vineyard, but they definitely felt it at his house, the White House. The marble pillars there and at the Capitol were both rocked. People were evacuated from the White House, the Capitol, the Pentagon. The State Department has minor cracks in the building. Those stones that have come off the Washington National Cathedral, the power lines are not down, but there has been minor structural damage. We have some reports of elderly people nearby in Richmond who have been taken to the local hospital with minor injuries. But really, considering the magnitude of this quake on this part of the country, the number of injuries that have been reported and the minor damage appears very small.
Egyptian protesters to Jews, the gas chambers are ready. Thank you, Hillary Clinton, for the Arab Spring. Libya draft constitution based on Islamic law. Biden won't second guess Chinese on one-child policy.
As I was talking with some of your leaders, you share a similar concern.
here in China. You have no safety net. Your policy has been one, which I fully understand, I'm not second-guessing, of one child per family. The result being that you're in a position where one wage earner will be taking care of four retired people. Not sustainable.
FCC finally kills off fairness doctrine. Hooray. S&P president steps down. Wall Street aristocracy got $1.2 trillion from Fed. Elliot Spitzer sued for $60 million on defamation claim. Poor guy. Medicare may pay for STD screenings for seniors. Muslims see foreign law bill as attack on Sharia. Well, let them go where they can practice Sharia. Also on MichaelSavage.com, man who tossed baby from fourth floor is an illegal alien. All this and more. Read the updated article. After you read the whole article, after committing this horrible crime against her own baby, she was composed enough to enter the hospital and have her parking validated. Things to me seems that she was thinking clearly enough to make sure she didn't have to pay to park. Let's pray to God the prosecutor doesn't cave into political insanity about this illegal who threw her baby off a roof. Anyway, read about this nightmarish cultural story on MichaelSavage.com, would you please? This is the Savage Nation.
Savage.
The National Academy of Science, so-called, came out and said it's the warmest it's been in 2,000 years, and it's all because of us, mankind, and that the science is in. That's rubbish. Many scientists disagree, and what the other scientists are doing are looking at snapshots, not the whole moving picture. Now, one of the chief scientists that I listen to is a professor and geographer named Harm de Blij, B-L-I-J, who wrote a book called Geography Matters, and he is speaking about global warming and cooling. Please listen to clip 28.
It got even warmer without our help in the Eemian than it is today. Sea level was 15 feet higher at the top of the Eemian than it is today. And it is an uncomfortable truth that if you take a look at those graphs, there's a very good chance we will be facing that again, whether or not we contribute to the pollution of the atmosphere.
Whether or not we contribute to the pollution of the atmosphere. I hope you understand that. And we're just in the middle of a cycle that's getting hotter. Now, so listen to 24.
About 25 million years ago, glaciers begin to form in the highlands, even in the tropics, in New Guinea, in the Andes, Kilimanjaro. About 12 million years ago, the Arctic Ocean freezes over and stayed frozen over. And then, in a period, a time frame called the Pliocene, there is a plunge of temperatures from about 6 to about 1.8 million years ago, when that incredible cooling came close to wiping out humanity, the primates, our common ancestors, but survived in Africa, not in Eurasia. And then 1.8 million years ago, it has been cold like this for 100,000 years. Then the temperature rises precipitously. Well, that's not a very good word. Suddenly, up to warm conditions of the kind we're experiencing today, that warm period tends to last somewhere between 8 and 13,000 years. Then there is an equally precipitous drop, and it is cold again. Now, notice these glaciations that are happening here have their kind of warm intervals as well. But then there's another one of these warm periods, and then it drops again. This has happened now about 18 times over the past 1.8 million years.
Now, I understand many of you can't follow it or don't want to follow it. I also understand many of you are college-educated or reasonably well-educated on your own and can follow it. It's common sense. This is not too complicated. Now, we then go on to Professor de Blij's discourse that I think is fascinating. Listen to 26.
Just 18,000 years ago, and I know this is not news to anyone in this audience, ice stopped stood as far south as the Ohio River. My house in Cape Cod would not have survived. And it came down very quickly, and it receded very quickly. The reason the United States is the breadbasket it is because those glaciers scoured rock in Canada into the finest powder imaginable, shoved it all into our Midwest, and then the ice retreated, leaving us with some of the Earth's most fertile soils. I'm surprised the Canadians haven't demanded reparations. This is where all this fertility came from.
See, he's the kind of science professor that I loved. First of all, he's knowledgeable. Secondly, he can explain it in common terms that we can understand. And he's basing it upon real evidence, which he was showing there. I'm going to leave out the real science behind what he's saying. This is not opinion. You can say it's theory based upon evidence. Let's put it to you that way. But it certainly counters the absurdity of the National Academy of Sciences that we're the hottest in 400 years and we did it. Now, go on to 27.
Just when it looked as though Europe was going to get itself organized, that its wealth and its cities were going to become the centers of democratic governments, has already begun to happen in Iceland and one or two other northern places, the climatic roof fell in. And in a matter of not generations, but years, Europe was transformed. The agricultural frontier, which was in Scandinavia and included Iceland, there was settlement in Greenland. Greenland wasn't called Greenland for fun. It was called Greenland because it was a green tip of a very cold place. And then all of a sudden, climate switched over. It had to do something with the thermohaline circulation in the ocean and North Atlantic Ocean, obviously. But in any case, what happened was, priests prayed with their congregations at the faces of glaciers advancing out of the Alpine valleys, gobbling up villages and churches and farms and fields. It was as many a diary I have read, because wine growers were keeping diaries in those days, because they, more than anybody else, were sensitive to climate change. They all wrote and said it was like lava coming out of a volcano. That's how glaciation impacts.
So it happened rapidly. It changed the face of Europe. And so what we may be going through now is another rapid change, and now we're going to a hot phase, and we could see real hot temperatures that are going to change the face of humanity. I don't doubt that we will. But for God's sakes, can we stop being primitives about it? Gore is sort of a priest of a gospel of lies, that we did it. This is part of the narcissism of the liberal, who thinks that he does everything. It's like a baby who makes doo-doo in his diaper and says doo-doo. Al Gore is saying, in essence, we made the doo-doo, and we're suffering as a result of it. Only we could do it. He doesn't understand that we have almost nothing to do with the change, the climactic change that we're going through right now. It's, again, a form of egomania that the liberal, of course, relates to, because they live in a world of narcissism and egomania, where only they can affect things. Not God, certainly, and not nature. They're better, and they're more supreme. Do you understand the psychopathology of the liberal? And why I said liberalism is a mental disorder, it's even affecting their view of climate change. Now, I am giving you a lesson that you could get nowhere else. I don't believe that what I'm doing for you in the last 5 minutes could be done at any university in America today, not only because it wouldn't be done, but it couldn't be done. I'm giving you a nugget on global warming in this segment that you have found nowhere else. You won't find it anywhere else. It's worth everything on earth. It's going to enlighten you and give you a power and a strength that you don't you understand that knowledge is power? But we're living through a kind of mass hysteria in the United States of America and in the West in general. A mass hysteria that we're evil, that we're no good. They won't blame the Islamo-fascists for what they're doing. It's our fault. They won't accept the fact that it may not be our fault that we're going through a hot spell or a warm spell. Again, it's our fault. The evils of the West. Don't you see how it all ties in to the mass hysteria of the illiberal left? Don't you see that this is an emotional reaction that ties into the psychopathology of the liberal or the leftist? Now let's go on to 29. This is the most important segment of all.
We are now contributing to a worsening of the global warming that nature probably had in store for us anyway. And as you know, really the only question is the degree of anthropogenic warming that we're adding to the natural warming. So perhaps you've been reading in the scientific literature, there was a great article in Science the other day about intensification of solar radiation. Apparently we're going through flares and hotter time, and we're adding this enormous pollution to the atmosphere, which of course has now so enhanced the greenhouse effect that we don't know what lies in store. Let me just suggest this. The atmosphere has been polluted, has been filled with carbon dioxide in the past to a far greater degree than is the case today, and has come back and cleansed itself after continental drift, thousands of volcanoes, after the impact in 72,500 years ago when humanity was nearly wiped out by a volcano in Indonesia called Toba. Take a look at Toba on your computer sometime. You will learn some amazing things. It probably cost us incredible human diversity, gene diversity, and almost wiped us out. The atmosphere apparently was completely covered in soot for 17 years, but repaired itself. After the asteroid impact in Yucatan, surely there was no chance that the atmosphere would recover, and it did.
You hear all of this? Do you hear the brilliance of the simplicity tied together here? This is like the verbal brushstrokes of a master. And I've always known, ever since I was a young science student, that the full professor who knew what he was talking about always explained things in ways that I could understand it and the other children could understand it who wanted to learn, and that the assistant professor would cover the blackboard with data and drawings and diagrams, and he would say things and tell you to study and memorize, and you were going to get a test, and you didn't understand anything, and that is because the assistant professor was an ignoramus who didn't understand the topic himself. That only the full professor truly understood, the good ones, what he was talking about, and usually could explain it in simple terms. Which, of course, this is how I learned to be a great communicator, or from the great professors that I had, and I had some really good ones. I had great high school teachers in my day at Jamaica High School in Queens. In those days, I had really some great teachers. And so, therefore, talk radio in some ways, although it's a medium of entertainment, it's also potentially a medium of great learning, whether you know it or not. And this edutainment that we have here is a golden, golden opportunity to please stop being superstitious about what's going on here. Please stop supporting the absurdity that we're so important that we're killing ourselves by driving our cars. This is rubbish. Pure rubbish, hysteria, ties right into the psychopathology of the liberal mindset, which is, of course, obsessed with its own power and importance.
Savage.
You know, many people out there are starting to believe that Obama is not incompetent. But actually, he just wants to destroy America. I know it sounds crazy. However, our next guest, Senator Tom Coburn of Oklahoma, says that Obama's intent is not to destroy but to create dependency. Senator Coburn, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Well, thank you, Michael. Thanks for having me today.
You said that you believe Obama's intent is to create dependency. What do you mean by that?
Well, I believe he believes in a much larger role for the federal government than what our founders believed. And he, like many of the liberals and hard left in Congress, think that the government is the answer to most of our problems rather than self-reliance. And the consequence of that is if you take away self-reliance, you create dependence.
How bad is the economic situation that we are in right now?
Oh, we've been in worse. The problem with our economic situation today is the risk going forward and whether or not we can make the changes that are necessary to make us healthy again without getting in an irreversible situation in terms of interest costs. The whole picture will hinge on what we as citizens will pay in interest costs for this enormous debt that we have and how that will increase if we continue to run these historic high deficits. So we eventually can turn our economy around, but it will be to no avail if, in fact, we have super high interest rates and we continue to accumulate debt at the rate at which we're accumulating. It's all fixable. Now, there's not a problem in front of us that we can't fix with common sense aspects of what we've done in the past, reforming tax rates, markedly bringing in the size and scope of the federal government to what it was intended to be, and transferring a lot of those obligations to the state governments where they're much more effective and much more economical. So I think we can solve the problems. The question would be, do we have the will, and more importantly, do we have the leadership to make the tough decisions to solve those? And you certainly didn't see that in Congress and the president this past month.
What, if anything, can be done to prevent things from getting worse?
Well, the way to prevent things from getting worse is to stop borrowing money that you don't have and spending money on things that you don't absolutely need. That's number one. Number two is to downsize through attrition the federal government starting today. Number three is eliminate duplicative programs that all do the same thing, but we're paying multiple bureaucracies to do. Just starting to do those things will give people some hope that the federal government isn't totally out of the loop and recognizes the problem. Our real problem economically right now is people don't have any confidence that anybody, zero, in Washington, have any common sense or working to try to, you know, put their finger in the dike as this country leaks in terms of its ability to solve its own problems.
Do you have any faith that the so-called supercommittee will actually do what needs to be done, meaning cut the spending?
Well, I wouldn't say I have some. I think it'll be very difficult for them, given who the members are. But, you know, looking at who's there, it's going to be very, very difficult for anything to come about. But the problem with the supercommittee is, let's say they don't do something. The answer to what we just passed was, there's going to be cuts in mandatory and defense. Well, that gets changed with 60 votes and a majority in the House. So there's no real pressure to make them do that because they'll just reverse it. That's what we've seen happen in the past. That's how we got in trouble. That's why that was a terrible compromise in my mind. It doesn't work because in the past 2 years, $640 billion worth of pay-as-you-go spending was avoided, cuts were avoided by just 60 votes saying, oh, no, I don't think we need to do that. So you're not going to change Congress till you change who's there. And you have a ton of people there that don't have the courage to do what they need to do.
How would you, Senator, fix our economic mess that we're in? Can it be fixed?
Well, I'd say $100 billion a year by clamping down heavy on Medicare fraud, Medicaid fraud. I'd totally reverse Obamacare because it's causing all sorts of problems. I would put a moratorium on any new government regulation, just flat out stop them. I would eliminate $200 billion a year in duplication within the federal government, which in terms of programs, and you could do that in 60 days. We could do that. I would totally reform the tax code where I would put in the fair tax or a flat tax, but if you couldn't do that, then I would totally eliminate most deductions and lower all the rates. I would put a freeze on federal government hiring and federal government purchasing, and I'd have a blue ribbon panel of retired military and retired defense contractors find $1 trillion in this over the next 10 years. And if you did all that and you cut spending, you could, in fact, get $9 trillion out of the budget over the next 10 years and make us healthy again.
Well, we all believe that this upcoming election to make Obama a one-term president is very important, but also to get some of your liberal colleagues out of office. You agree?
I don't know. I'm not a good historian to judge elections. I know who you send there is more important. Who is there and whether they have courage is more important than what party they're in. if we're near the end of our ability to survive if we don't make hard decisions. And so hopefully we'll have people in this next election that are elected. The one neat thing about a lot of the new senators that came to the Senate is they don't care if they get reelected. They're going to do what's necessary to fix the country. And that's who we need running for office.
Obama seems to be gloating about the fall of Gaddafi in Libya. Do you think he deserves credit for this? And wait a minute, should we have ever gotten involved? Who are the rebels?
My personal feeling is our involvement should have been limited only to supporting what our NATO partners wanted to do over there. But if he's going to take credit, he should have led, and he didn't lead. So I don't know how you judge that. I think you would have seen the same result ultimately over a much shorter period of time if we'd have followed John McCain's lead. If we're going to get my position is if we're going to get involved in a military conflict, then let's get involved, win, and get out. And let's quit paying attention to political correctness. If the goal is to take Gaddafi out, go and take Gaddafi out. We had the means to do that. We just didn't want the risk to civilians that would have taken to do that. But ultimately, a couple of thousand people died in Libya. Whose lives are more important? I'm sick of our country getting into things and then looking at a political correct political philosophy applied to the military and say, you can win it, but here's how you have to do it. I know that will rub a lot of people the wrong way, but I don't think we put our military at risk unless we're going to let them use every tool they've got to be able to win in the shortest and most efficient possible way.
Senator Coburn, thank you very much for joining us today on the Savage Nation.
Michael, it's great being with you today.
I'll be right back.
Savage.
While we discuss our very real concern, let us all remember who the real enemy is. And the real enemy is the Tea Party.
Did you hear that? And it's organizations like the AARP who control these leftist politicians. AMAC is fighting back. The Association of Mature American Citizens. Your membership can help stop the left wing. Call 800-255-4199, 800-255-4199, or go to americaisrising.com, 800-255-4199, americaisrising.com. Today we're going to take a little trip together. We're going to talk about self-hating individuals in the media. Self-deprecating ethnic humor is the focus today for a couple of reasons. In this confusion of America today because of the gang from Chicago and the great imposter who is playing at president, the man with training wheels, Barack Hussein Obama, people do not know what conservatives stand for. And since he has a compliant media, they would like you to believe that the largest majority of the electorate, the conservative population, has no idea what it stands for. Well, I clearly have defined what it stands for, borders, language, and culture. Many of you can understand what I mean when I say we stand for borders. How hard is that to figure out when we have internationalists who want to not only destroy our borders, which they've effectively done by permitting unlimited immigration primarily from Mexico, but now they want to destroy the U.S. dollar completely and replace it with an international currency, therefore destroying your entire basis of existence as an American. So we understand what borders mean. If I say language, we know what it means. We don't want a polyglot. We don't want the Tower of Babel. We want the language English in a business place, in a governmental workplace. We don't want to go to the DMV and press 2 for Spanish. But many of you don't know what I mean when I say culture. When I say borders, language, and culture, as I said, you can understand borders, language, but you don't know what culture means. Let me define what I mean by culture, first in the negative. I mean that we conservatives are sick of the sewer pipe that runs out of Hollywood. I mean that we conservatives are sick of the vermin in the media who perpetuate vulgarity, cursing, sexual degeneracy, making a mockery of everything that we believe in. That's what I mean by culture. We're sick of the sewer pipe that comes out of Hollywood. Case in point, Larry David, curb your enthusiasm. Now, the first rule is what you do is you don't talk about people you don't like because you don't want to give them publicity. You know what? I'm going to talk about someone I detest who needs to be stopped before he brings terrible calamity upon the Jewish people. And this man, in my opinion, is insane. Everyone around Larry David is insane. These are people so insular, so wrapped up in their own insanity that they think they're intelligent because they're making money at it. But as someone asked, is one of America's funniest people actually just an anti-Semite in Jews' clothing? What are we talking about? Who is this man? Many of you never heard of him because you don't get HBO. This fellow, Larry David, a typical Brooklyn type, the type that would have gone into the Garment Center years ago, instead he migrated out to Hollywood and produced this vulgarity over the years, started with a show called Seinfeld. I never saw anything in Seinfeld because I never liked the Woody Allen schlemiel Jew. I never liked the image of the weak Jew. I saw it with Woody Allen. I saw it with people before him. They made me cringe. And then along came Seinfeld, and the average American finally got a picture of what the Jew is, thinking that all Jews are whiny, all Jews are neurotic, and that all Jews are paranoid, all Jews are complainers, all Jews are unethical, all Jews are selfish. In other words, they were Seinfeld. That's who Larry David created, Seinfeld, with the guy, whatever his name is, Jerry Seinfeld. Now the guy goes and creates a new show called Curb Your Enthusiasm, which is shown on HBO, to great acclaim amongst the Hollywood types. Only Hollywood seems to like it. Why? David exemplifies the worst in the Jewish stereotype, and yet he displays them as if they were badges of honor. So they call that brilliant. Why is it brilliant? It was called the Bear Midriff. And in it, him and Jerry Seinfeld have to talk to their assistant, Maureen, about her belly-bearing attire. Instead, she's fat, and she wears a top that lets her stomach hang out. So, in other words, the one Christian in the show is shown to be ugly and fat and stupid. And she quits. You follow me? Now it gets even uglier. Larry David takes a pill to increase his flow of urine, and it causes urine to splatter on the wall. He goes to her house to apologize, and his urine splatters on a portrait of Jesus, with the urine coming down from the portrait's eye, and he runs out of the bathroom. The next day, his employee comes in screaming that there's been a miracle, that there's a weeping Jesus in the bathroom, and that she's going to quit her job, and that her and her mother are going to go to churches and talk about this miracle of Jesus weeping in the bathroom. Meanwhile, it's Larry's urine running from the portrait of Jesus. Now I ask you, ladies and gentlemen, I ask you if this you think is appropriate as humor. And if he's such a brave, brazen man, Larry David from Coney Island, New York, what does he have to say about Muhammad? How come the great Larry David feels, well, he can ridicule Jews, nothing happens. He can ridicule Christians, nothing happens. But the great Larry David and his clowns from Brooklyn are surprisingly silent when it comes to the Islamo-terrorists. Isn't that interesting? So I bring us back to the main point, which is self-deprecating ethnic humor. And what I have to do is frame the whole thing again in the context of borders, language, and culture and talk about this. Why? Because some entertainers depend on their own God-given talent to make a living. Think back on the age of Steve Allen. Steve Allen also fought against vulgarity in the media. He never used a dirty word to get a laugh. Every time I turn on HBO, there's another degenerate in front of another staged audience, cursing and screaming in the most vile language imaginable. And people sit there as stooges laughing. And they fall back in many cases on vile racist stereotypes about their own people in order to make a buck. For example, there's a woman named Margaret Cho who does the same thing about Korean people that Larry Davis does about Jews. She puts down her own people to get a laugh out of the audience. But look at the difference between Groucho Marx, who was Jewish, and Larry David. Groucho Marx was one of the most successful comedians of the 20th century. He didn't curse. He didn't put down Jews. But he used his own wit and did not indulge in ethnic stereotypes. Now look at Larry David, the man who created Seinfeld and Curb Your Enthusiasm. This man revels in perpetuating Jewish stereotypes. He specializes in creating and portraying characters who are weak, neurotic, whining, and vulgar, and all Jewish. And as time goes on, he gets more and more vile and less funny. And I said I saw an episode of his show where his character urinates on a picture of Jesus, and the people who are in the house who own the picture of Jesus think that it's a miracle, and he mocks them. I believe every Christian in America should be outraged, and I believe every Christian in America should demand that HBO take the show off in order to send a clear message that you're not going to tolerate any more of this Christian bashing. What if this episode had attacked Muslims? What would the reaction be if it had been a Quran instead of a picture of Jesus that he urinated on? Why doesn't the midstream media seem to care about this? The truth is that the leftists who cry the loudest about racist stereotypes happen to be the ones who do the most to perpetuate them. So Larry David bashes Christians and gets away with it, but he also makes Jews look terrible, as I said to you. Every Jew in his series is angry, dismissive, judgmental, antagonistic, and ungrateful. Every one of them. Every one of them who is a man is seen as a kind of complaining, whining, unethical, paranoid, selfish, and uncaring individual. Not the type of people that you would like to meet. And yet this type of self-hatred portrayed by Larry David is passing for humor. But look at the people he surrounds himself with. All of the characters around them, Jeff Garlin, Richard Lewis, they're Jewish. And all of the characters have similar traits. Most of them completely unflattering. Most of them actually despicable. In fact, I believe that if Hitler were alive and he hired a propagandist to create an image of the ugly Jew, he couldn't do better than to hire Larry David and his group from Coney Island, New York. And that's why I say to you, what has happened to the media in this country that they would produce filth like this that ridicules not only Christians on a regular basis, but Jews themselves by a Jewish cast? In the beginning, the show was quite funny. And something happened around 05 and 06 when he went from humor into self-hatred. He portrays Orthodox Jews in the most horrendous fashion.
Savage.